the U.S. is planning to open direct talks with Houthi rebels in Yemen.
From what sources tell us, this effort to open a channel with the Houthis by the U.S. is sort of a recognition or acknowledgement that there's no military solution to the conflict. The Saudi-Emirati intervention there has not worked.
Plus, former partners Philip Morris and Altria consider another tie-up. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to Yemen and merger talks in the tobacco industry, here are some other top stories we're following today. The College Board is backing away from a plan to assign students who take the SAT with adversity scores following criticism of the plan. It was an attempt to capture the social and economic background of students taking the test using 15 factors, like crime and poverty rates in the student's high school and neighborhood. The board says it's listened to feedback and will now use a tactic known as landscape. That method uses an array of data points, like household structure and family income, but will not combine them into a single score. A former Google engineer has been charged with stealing trade secrets. Anthony Lewandowski, a pioneer of self-driving car technology, is accused of stealing technology from Google parent Alphabet and taking it to Uber. Federal authorities have charged him with 33 counts of trade secret theft. Lewandowski surrendered at the federal courthouse in San Jose, California, this morning. Natural gas prices in Europe and Asia have fallen to historic lows this year, due in large part to the amount of natural gas from the U.S. making its way to global markets. That means lower prices for U.S. producers hoping to make a profit abroad. The latest data shows U.S. natural gas futures for September delivery are down about 25% from this time last year. The world's most profitable company, Saudi Arabian oil giant Aramco, has been beset by delays in its plans for an initial public offering. That IPO would be the world's biggest ever. The Wall Street Journal's Sarah McFarlane has more on some of the challenges.
There are lots of big decisions for Saudi Arabia to make for this IPO to come to fruition. They need to decide where to list the company, for starters, and they have mentioned multiple exchanges in Asia, in New York, in London. And there's also a question of timing. Obviously, the oil price is key to what valuation Aramco would get on the public markets. One of the major sticking points for the IPO is what the valuation of Aramco is. Prince MBS has said that he sees it being valued at $2 trillion. However, banks see a lower valuation. They talk about it being valued at between $1.2 trillion and $1.5 trillion. If it goes ahead with the IPO, we're going to have a huge amount more information to work with, and it's a big opportunity for investors, if they're interested in getting a slice of the energy sector, to invest.
For more on this story, check out the video on our website at wsj.com/video. Now, a Wall Street Journal exclusive. We report that the U.S. is planning to open direct talks with Houthi forces in Yemen in an attempt to end the country's four-year war. Joining me now from Washington with more details is Wall Street Journal national security reporter Warren Strobel. Warren, this is a conflict between Iran-backed Houthi rebels on the one side and a Saudi Arabian coalition backed by the U.S. on the other that began as a civil war in Yemen 4 years ago.
Yes, the current violence began as a civil war between the Houthis and the internationally recognized government of Yemen, but it quickly metastasized into sort of a larger regional conflict with the Saudis and the United Arab Emirates coming in on this, basically against the Houthis with some backing from the United States. And on the other side, Iran came in with what U.S. officials charge as financial aid, training, and weapons for the Houthis. So it's sort of become a microcosm of the larger regional conflict in the Gulf.
And the U.S. backing of the Saudi coalition that you mentioned has drawn bipartisan opposition here in Congress.
It has indeed. It's actually one of the very few issues that you can find people on both the Democratic and Republican side of the aisle in Congress agreeing on. They feel that the U.S. has supplied weapons to the Saudis in particular, and the Saudis have used them in a non-responsible way, causing literally thousands of civilian casualties. There was a move to cut off support for the Saudis, to cut off arms transfers, basically, and that was passed but vetoed by President Trump. Over time, the U.S. actually has sort of slowly reduced its support for the Saudi-led coalition that is doing these airstrikes, stopped refueling their planes, but still provides intelligence and some other support.
And as you mentioned, this effort to open direct talks with the Houthis comes as there are heightened tensions between the U.S. and Iran and in the surrounding region as well. So what is prompting plans to open a direct dialogue now?
Yeah, I think there are concerns that Yemen, which, although it's become part of this larger conflict, is obviously, it's one of the worst humanitarian, it is the worst humanitarian crisis in the world, according to the UN, and there's concern that it could get further dragged into this sort of regional conflict, making the war there, the conflict there, harder to solve. So that is certainly one issue that people are looking at. I think the other issue is that, from what sources tell us, this effort to open a channel with the Houthis by the U.S. is sort of a recognition or acknowledgement that there's no military solution to the conflict. The Saudi-Emirati intervention there has not worked. There's not a winnable war here for the Saudis, and it's time to try a different tack.
Warren, as you just said, the war in Yemen has devastated the country. The UN saying the Yemen is home to the world's worst humanitarian crisis. And that's just one of the considerable challenges ahead here.
Yes, you have widespread cholera epidemic in Yemen. You have millions of people who have been forced from their homes, and millions who are at risk for starvation. The UN just last week, I believe it was, made an announcement saying that, hey, there was this pledging conference in February where countries around the world pledged billions of dollars to help humanitarian relief in Yemen. And many of the countries that have pledged that money have not ponied up their promises. And if they don't do so quickly, the UN is going to have to start shuttering programs in Yemen, which would have a direct impact on the health and livelihood of the people there.
So, Warren, at this point, what details could you tell us about the plans to open a dialogue? What would that potentially look like?
We don't know a lot of details. We do know these talks are supposed to take place in the Persian Gulf country of Oman, which is a sort of a neutral country that often hosts talks of these kinds. We believe that the Saudis will also be in the room, but we also are told, Wall Street Journal is told, that there are many, many challenges ahead, including the fact that the Houthis themselves are divided about whether they want to continue the war or not. And because this is sort of first contact, it's going to take a while for the parties to size each other up, let alone make any kind of an agreement that could lead to a ceasefire.
Wall Street Journal national security reporter Warren Strobel joining us from Washington. Thank you so much, Warren.
Thanks.
Past partners Philip Morris and Altria are engaged in tie-up talks. The Wall Street Journal's Jennifer Maloney says a decline in cigarette sales is again spurring merger talks between the two companies.
Altria and Philip Morris split a little more than a decade ago. They sell the same portfolio of cigarette brands. Altria sells them in the U.S. Philip Morris International sells them everywhere else. Their biggest cigarette brand is Marlboro. They split more than a decade ago when the U.S. was facing a huge litigation risk around tobacco and the health effects of cigarette smoking. But that litigation risk has receded in the years since then.
There are also new products like e-cigarettes that are encouraging the talks.
One of them is a cigarette alternative called IQOS that Philip Morris invented and is selling in countries including Japan and the UK. And in a partnership between the two companies, it's going to be launched in September in the US. When the FDA gave the green light for it to go on sale here, that's when the talks began in earnest over the summer. Both Philip Morris International and Altria are facing a decline in cigarette demand. They're looking for alternatives as people shift away from cigarette smoking to other alternatives. The other product that's really framing the discussions is the U.S. e-cigarette market leading brand, Juul. Altria last year invested $12.8 billion to get a minority stake in Juul. Juul is expanding aggressively into overseas markets where it will be competing with Philip Morris International's cigarettes. So Philip Morris sees it as a potential threat. However, if Philip Morris and Altria combine forces, it could find growth in Juul's overseas expansion.
A tie-up between Philip Morris and Altria would be worth more than $200 billion. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.